This morning's public reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 to 35. So the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 to 35. This is God's eternal word, inspired and preserved. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build the tower, and sit it not down first, and count it the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he had laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able, with 10,000, to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassadage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. Please be seated. May God choose to bless his word. This portion of Luke's gospel, it is quite evident, has not been preached enough in our contemporary churches. I'll say it again, this portion of Luke's gospel and these words of Jesus are seldom preached, seldom heard, and seldom pressed upon the hearing of a church audience. You notice in verse 35, Jesus ends with the words, He that had ears to hear, let him hear. And these are the same admonishments that God the Holy Spirit reiterates in the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3, where Jesus picks seven contemporary churches in the middle of the first century. Only two are given commendations, favorable words. Five out of the seven receive not only bits and pieces of good news, but a whole lot of bad news and a whole lot of stern warnings to repent, or else I will come in judgment and remove your candlestick. And in each one of those admonishments, the Spirit of God tells John to write, He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So not only is this portion of Luke's gospel and the message of Jesus that's found here seldom preached, if and when it is preached, the church audience tunes it out and therefore fails to give heed to the admonishment, those who have ears, please pay attention. Now, in this particular portion, Jesus is talking about discipleship. Discipleship. And this portion of Luke, Jesus brings forth at least two very hard sayings that has ever fallen from his lips. Verse 26. If any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples. Three of the hard sayings of Jesus. And in this case, he's talking about being a disciple. And in the month of November, before the 2022 Nativity series that we just wrapped up last month, we were in the book of Acts, like we are right now, in chapter 18. And I wanted to bring forth a series of messages on what is discipleship. What does that constitute? How is it done? How do you define it? What does it look like? Remember those lessons? Discipleship. This is what Jesus was talking about discipleship. And in today's evangelical circles, we just tell people, or we ask a simple question, you don't want to die and go to hell, do you? And everybody responds, you know, oh, I want to die and go to hell. No. Well, you come forward, mumble the sinner's prayer, you can shake my hand, we'll put you in the tank, we'll baptize you, and you're fit. You are a child of God. Go out there and conquer the world. But one of the things that we do not tell these young disciples, or we don't even include this in any gospel presentation, is the cost of discipleship. Beloved, being saved, that's just one small part of the package. Salvation has one thing in mind. There's one goal in one's salvation, and that is a changed, transformed life. You are no longer walking in the same direction that you were when you came into the church. If you come into the church lost as night is long and dark, and God graciously and truly saves you while you're sitting in the pew, whether or not you walk forward or whether or not you mumble a prayer, God can save you while you're listening to the message without the invitation. You want proof? Read Cornelius's household and their conversion. They got saved while Peter was still preaching. He didn't even have a chance to give an altar call, my dear friends. God saved them while in the midst of Peter's sermon. That could still go on today. But in the modern church, we just simply touch on getting yourself out of hell. Well, what about what happens with the rest of your life before you die? What do you do with the rest of your life? Salvation includes, or understands rather, that when you get saved, that's just the beginning. Now that you're a child of God, now you enter into the schoolhouse of Christ. You are now a disciple of Christ. And as a disciple, you have to count the cost of being that disciple. And that's found, beloved, in verses 28, 29, 30, 31, and 32. Jesus gives two illustrations. A man who's about to build the tower, and he doesn't count the cost in that endeavor. He gets the foundation laid, but now he's run out of money and he cannot finish his tower, and people will walk by and laugh at him. The other one is a king who's about to go off to war. His enemy has 20,000 soldiers, and all that he has available, all that he can muster, is 10,000. He needs to sit down with his generals and his advisors, look at the map, look at the pieces that are on the map, and weigh the cost whether or not he can whoop up on an army twice his size. Or is it in his best interest to send an ambassador and sue for peace and have no blood shed? Beloved, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not easy. We are painting a wrong picture in many of our evangelical gospel presentations. Come to Jesus and he'll make all your pain go away. Come to Jesus and he'll restore your marriage. Come to Jesus and he'll reconcile all your broken relationships. Beloved, salvation first and foremost is to take away the enmity that you have against God. Your hatred against God needs to be eradicated. His displeasure in your lifestyle and in your very being needs to be taken away. And only Christ can do that by the atonement that he purchased on the cross for those who would believe in him and trust in him. So in the gospel presentation, not only must we tell sinners the bad news that God is not pleased with their raunchy lifestyle, then we tell them about a Savior. But then at the same moment, beloved, we need to also tell these people who are listening to the gospel what it is to be a disciple. Jesus said in verse 26, he is to have total priority over every human relationship. And that includes the closest relationships any one of us can have. A mother or a father, or a spouse, or a child. In American culture, we have made children little gods in the home. They run the home, not the parents. Christ is to be preeminent in every child of God's life. The wife, the husband, the in-laws, the outlaws, your parents, your kids are to be subordinate to Christ. He's first. And in verse 27, if we're not willing to carry a cross, which was a picture of death, and to suffer for Christ, then don't even contemplate walking the aisle and mumbling a prayer. And then thirdly, beloved, in verse 33, Christ doesn't call us to become homeless and to live in a box on some street corner. But we must be willing, at least willing, to depart with some of the things of this world for the sake of him and the sake of this kingdom and the sake for the advancement of the gospel of Christ. These are three of the hard sayings of Christ. And beloved, they are seldom preached in our churches. And if they are preached, the ones in the pew seldom giveth an audience. Now may God be pleased to awaken not only those behind the pulpit, but those who sit in the pew. Amen.